This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Not to continue FML, but I was thinking about this yesterday while I was listening to you and Garrett. There seemed to be, and it seemed to be the consensus of a lot of people, that you were wistfully looking at the NCAA tournament in so many ways. You were kind of thinking back to yesteryear and kind of not seeing as much of the tournament as you wanted to. Is that kind of where I'm at on that?
Certainly just it's definitely dwindled the last like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe it coincides with Ohio State being irrelevant as a basketball program too, but I've never known this few players when it comes to players. And I've wondered, like, when these coaches are done, because at least I knew the coaches. Like Calipari and Patino, I was watching. Not because of the programs. Arkansas, St. John's, been a dead program for many years. No, I don't know the players either. It's the coaches.
I think it was more Patino with St. John's for me. But you're right, Patino with anybody.
Yeah, well,
when he was at Iona. Yeah.
When these coaches are gone, when Izzo's gone, when Kelvin Sampson gone, like you run the gamut of all these iconic coaches, whatever. We've already seen a slew of them gone. Boeheim, Roy Williams, Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
I wonder how much I'll even care about tournament debt, especially when they expand, which, I mean, people, the power brokers make it seem like that is inevitable. Like, well, it is going to expand.
You're right. The coaches are the stars now. They always shared that spotlight as much, but now, like, the guys don't stay that long, or they are in different places for so many times over that they can't stay long enough in a place to become stars. Because I do think part of the brand, part of your branding is the brand that you work with. Playing it, I don't know how many guys would leave Duke. Maybe you can give me evidence to the contrary. But part of it is who you play for. Guys who were legendary, Kentucky Wildcats, Bruins, Hoosiers, et cetera, et cetera. The coaches in so many ways have become the stars. That's why, like, Dan Hurley's got to keep bitching. He's got to keep complaining. I don't think his media guy needs to be threatening people. But everything else, like, Dan Hurley's got to keep it up because he's the only guy, like, in his prime that people really care about. A couple of guys here and there, but you got to really like college basketball. And for the general public, I think he's broken through to the general public. Not many other people have. But I was thinking about this. You got to live your life a lot longer than the rest of us have. Like, the way you wanted it on your terms. And I think maybe you've struggled with it a little bit more of, I've been domesticated for a long time. Owen's been the same way. You lived your life the way you wanted it for what, 40 years? Just about for 39, 40 years? That's a good hell of a run, man. Can you pick like three things to make a big deal about and then maybe you would get the leeway to enjoy those three things. Because you, there's a lot of things that seem to happen that I would have never thought about. Going out downtown, seeing downtown, whatever it might be, that you're like, man, I remember back in those days. Ain't never doing that again. It's like, well, you can't do all of it. Back then you could, now you can't. Are there like three things you could pick? Like if you got the tournament, if the tournament was your thing and you could enjoy the tournament and that's what it was, do you think it would be a little bit better for you? With the scheduling and everything, with the little ones and all that other good stuff? Or is it just like, it's too close to the marathon and all the other things?
No, I gotta be honest, I'm just not as interested in it. And this one has nothing to do with,
really?
Oh, I don't have as much time or whatever. Because, yeah, I don't have as much time to watch all the stuff that I used to watch, but I'm still very closely following the NFL. And this was a nice bounce back college football season because there were so many more storylines, you know, when it came to the team I cared about. But, you know, I'm still watching a ton of NBA. I'm still watching a ton of football, both college and the NFL. So I got back into baseball come playoff time last year. You know, even games that weren't involving the Guardians, I got back into it. So I still think you're always, aren't you always a bit of a free agent if something is interesting? Like, I wasn't watching women's basketball for a long time. Caitlin Clark came around, and now I'm going out of my way to watch her. And I did last year. I watched random WNBA games. When was I ever doing that?
She left a little bit of residual there with Juju Watkins. It's sad to say because she just got hurt last night. But I'd watched some Juju Watkins games this last year.
Yeah, but already,
I didn't watch as much women's college basketball. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, my consumption plummeted again last year. And if Caitlin Clark tomorrow got injured, yeah, that's probably it for me. So I do think you can if you are captivated by a team, by something going on in a sport, by a storyline that is amazing. I still think no matter how old we get, we can be into it. We see it with the ratings. We see it with you said NASCAR's up again.
Okay? But are the numbers skewed because of what you brought up with CBS and their numbers? See, now I worry about the numbers being skewed. It's up 18%. They said theirs was up, I think, 6 or 9%. I'm not sure which, but it's still up from last year overall viewership. And you went, well, those numbers aren't necessarily telling the entire truth from what they are, or they are different numbers that end in something differently. That you know how this goes, that I don't.
Oh yeah,
I'm asking.
The last 2 years they're counting out of home viewing, so they're estimating people in bars finally and restaurants, which they had never done before. So now you're seeing an uptick. So they said the NCAA tournament was up in ratings, pretty sizable over the last however many years. This year, the ratings are up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're finally counting stuff that they never counted before. So you're not really comparing apples and oranges. So a lot of the networks, this is that caveat, like the networks are all celebrating these huge gains in cable viewing and network viewing, and they're also, you know, going with digital viewing, too, that they're adding. They never had done that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're wondering which numbers were really accurate. Were the old numbers not accurate at all because they didn't include that stuff? Probably not.
They can only go by what they can measure,
but yet we're comparing this stuff to that and saying this is way bigger. When is it? Is it really, like, does that make sense? This NCAA tournament where there weren't Cinderellas, there weren't a ton of great games. Let's be honest. There seemed to be a malaise. You don't have any of the crazy buzzer beaters until the Maryland shot, and yet the ratings are up.
Well, there was controversy even around the Maryland shot. I'm enjoying the tournament, but it was just the tournament being the tournament. I don't have any, like, I got to tell you, at first I thought that people yesterday, when I'm listening to some of the stuff, I'm going, man, we're finding anything we could talk about just because we have to talk about the tournament. So we're talking about, well, there's no real Cinderellas, even though you've said it yourself, and I think it's been proven. Are we as into Cinderellas as we think we are? Because by the time the second week comes around, people like the name brands kind of being shown out there. If they make the Final Four, that's a once in a while. We remember those sort of things, but are they watching as much in real time as we think they are? You know, some of the results say no. But I go back and I go, man, we're complaining about the Cinderellas. We're complaining about no buzzer beaters. We're finding anything we can to just talk about it. And I'm thinking, man, I'm just taking in the tournament for the tournament, but it still doesn't fix anything because I'm a sports fan. So if it's not bringing in the general public the way that college basketball used to bring in the general public, where you can name the players, you knew the brands, there was a lot of guys that were villainous, quote-unquote, heroes, quote-unquote, guys you like, stories you like, there isn't as much of that. Am I just holding on to the past? Or not even holding on to the past. Do I just take it in the past and just don't take it as seriously as I used to? So it doesn't matter. It's this time of the year. It's live sports. It's on TV. It's their big moment in their sport. I'm going to watch it. Like, Wimbledon will be on. I have zero interest in tennis.
Yeah, I watched that stuff when I was young. I watched a ton of it.
But I'm saying it will be on late June, whenever it is. I have zero interest in tennis. And when I know it is, I'll put it on in the background. It'll just be because it's the midday here. I'll just leave it on in the background. When it comes to golf, I do have interest in the Masters. I do have interest in the majors, but it wanes after the Masters. I will admit that. I'll leave it on in the background because it's middle of the day programming. Even though my interest in golf has waned here over the last few years and really took a hit ever since Liv took over, because I think all it's done is really hurt golf altogether. Like, that is, I'm a sports fan, so I'm going to watch it, but it's not helping guys like me. They already have. Are they helping themselves with anybody else? They're probably not.
Well, this is why it's important for all of these sports, and you're seeing jockey position. You're seeing a lot of it in Major League Baseball too. I mean, we're sitting here how many days before opening day in baseball, and there's a bunch of people around the country who don't know where they're going to find their local teams.
Are we one of them?
We are one of them. Yeah, there's no deal done yet. Like, that's the stuff that the sports are competing with. Every movie that's ever been created, every song that's ever been created, every TV show that's ever been created, we're at a different time. You really do have to stand out to get the attention, not just of sports fans, but for anybody consuming anything in the way of entertainment. So that battle is being waged every day. We're competing with that. You can get our shows. Our shows are all available. It never used to be the case when you were younger. You had your favorite show. If you missed Cheers, you had to wait for reruns, 6 months later, unless you got it on your VHS and taped it. Like, think about how different that is than now. People, if you are not interesting, if you are in the world of creation and you're not creating things that are interesting, and that includes sports, then you'll lose people, and you can lose. People are susceptible to being lost at any time.
Lima, you and Owen, I know that you guys play the Fatlock music for me, which is really originally the Matlock music, but you guys did some sleuthing here. This is some good investigative journalism. Big J journalism. We got real journalists going after it here, because allegedly on the internet, and everything on the internet's true, there was a global supply chain conference in Chicago last week. Deion Sanders was the keynote speaker. Allegedly, now there's a person who has a picture here, and I'm going to hand it over to you guys here in just a moment. But there was a person who had a picture there, and it was Deion Sanders up on a giant screen. And allegedly, Deion Sanders said, "We're hoping." Is that true? Let's hope it's New York, is what he said when asked about his son in the draft, Shador Sanders in the draft. Lima, your antennas went up. Owen, your antennas went up. Whether or not this is true, whether or not this is, because there's no audio of him saying it. There's no audio. Mitch exhausted himself, gave a whole 30 minutes yesterday looking for this audio to try to find to play it so everybody. So if Mitch couldn't find it in 30 minutes, it can't be out there. Lima, what do you have for us here?
Just that right now, given the entire internet, and there are a lot of people working on this all over the place to find out if this was actually said, and nobody can nail it down, which obviously your antennas raise up a little bit. You're like, wait a second. In the year 2025, somebody like Deion Sanders was a film crew with him wherever he goes that has television cameras and local affiliates and national media that are pounding the pavement to be there with a microphone for anything he says, and we don't have any record of this. All we have is one picture from one individual from this conference in Chicago. So I'm cynical. I'm cynical on a lot of these things until I actually see it. We always try to get Mitch, go find audio, go find sound, and Mitch will be like, no, it was actually a reporter, was at a locker, and got something just one-on-one, and they didn't videotape it. And then I'm like, well, come on, there's got to be something, and we get in these debates all the time, and turns out Mitch was right. Well, in this case, all right, go find it. Somebody go find it. Well, the internet's tried to find it, and there's nothing as of yet, and there really is one guy who took a picture of it, and then another guy who also happens to be in the same town as that guy ran wild with it, who also happens to be a podcaster and YouTuber. So do we know if he said it? We don't as of right now. And that's where we're at. I mean, Owen is trying to contact the dude.
So we have two names, right? Marshall Green is the podcaster.
Yep.
He's got a Giants-based podcast, a video cast that's on YouTube. I watched too much of it today. And then John Sokol, who Marshall Green puts the picture that John Sokol took, presumably, or at least put out,
yeah,
of Deion Sanders at this conference, which is a supply chain conference, which was in Chicago. I've went to that supply chain conference's Instagram and found a picture, the actual headshot that they used of Deion Sanders promoting that he was going to be there, right?
Okay.
There are only two comments under it. There is one 6 days ago when it happened, and it said from Hi-Viz Marketing, it says, "Coach Sanders is great, but can he drive a forklift?" The other one is from 12 hours ago, and it's from Marshall, and he just wants the video. So he doesn't even know.
Yeah, so Marshall has no... we're all basing this on is one guy who a week later said that he said this.
I've also found a few things interesting on John. He is a process improvement analyst at a very big air conditioning company. I'll leave their name out. But he does implement and standardize supply chain related processes. So there's a great likelihood that he was there at this conference for sure. I've reached out to him. I've not got a response back.
So we do have somebody who is a listener, and I'm glad you've done this. There is a person who's a listener. I don't want to say their full last name here, just in case, but they said, "I quote, I was at the show in Chicago last week, but had to leave before he spoke." He being Deion, ProMat should be posting the interview at some point. So clearly, they haven't posted the interview yet.
No,
because everybody's asking for it. You'd have it.
Well, they did. The following night is when they wrapped things up, and they had their big outro was an event hosted by Jay Farrow, you know, been on the show before, and they had Nate Bargatze there. So
they got Nate Bargatze at the ProMat?
Yes, yeah, so they've probably been busy with that coming down from the Bargatze.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's a huge high to be up on. So do you guys think this is real? Are you believing more that it's real?
If it is real.
There's a lot of hemming and hawing over
here. Yeah, let me ask you, if it is real, what does it tell you? Does it tell you that, A, Deion has all along been trying to steer Shador to New York, which was an original thought? That was something a lot of people thought a while ago. Is it, number two, the Browns have already told him we're not interested? So that could be part of it. Or as part of that also, did Deion tell the Browns we are not interested in Cleveland, and so they're not even on the book? They're not even a hopeful prospect at this point? You know, so what is it? What does it tell you? I think you could still, even if we had a clip of him saying this, I think you could still interpret it 1,000 different ways.
Huh. Well, all right, let's piece by piece. What was the first thing he said? Do you remember the first thing he said? No? Okay.
What, to start off the show today?
No.
Hello, Ken.
Yeah, I did say. Say, great to be here.
That's how you start. It's getting, but speaking of liars, I'm becoming less and less believable that you mean that. Okay, the second thing you brought up was the Deion thing. You remember, I mean, we've known coaches in the past who've been like up for jobs. We're not going to say names, might have been up for jobs. And then, you know, things happen and maybe bigger fish are available. Whether or not they're actually better fish, that's up for debate. But they're bigger fish, and then they say, well, we'll say you turned us down. Is this a situation where Deion quietly, damn it, I don't know, man. Let me say this out right quick.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this a situation where Deion quietly has said, we're not interested. If you take us, there's going to be a problem. But if we all remain quiet here, then you're not interested in my son? As I say it out loud, it doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't do that. You would just say the Browns aren't interested in my son and put a chip on his shoulder, would you not? If you were Deion, were you following there?
If he's trying to steer
Shador to New York.
To another
city. Like, the Browns have said, hey, we really like your son. Because at the combine, everybody seemed to not like him except for the Browns. And so I was like, well, after the combine, it's like, well, it seems to be that they're going to take Shador Sanders. And then maybe he heard that and he said, my son does not, we're not going to have him play for you, no. And so to save it, like after a month now, Schefter's off the scent about the Browns taking a quarterback and other people are like, it's becoming a consensus they're going to take Abdul Carter, buddy. I know, I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble here, but every single place you go just has Abdul Carter. I believe he is the betting favorite for the Browns at number two.
Yeah, I think he is.
So if that's the case, maybe something was said and now they're thrown off the scent of Shador Sanders.
Well, I always wondered if you...
But man, that just doesn't make any sense as it comes out of my mouth.
Well,
so many things don't.
If you didn't want your son to go play for the Cleveland Browns, and we've always... I mean, we can't act like we haven't kind of wondered if that's the case in some circles, if agents and friends and family are saying, just don't go to the Browns. Like, unfortunately, that's what happens in sports. If a team has been bad or... has the perception is bad
on
a team.
Yeah.
Like that's normal, right? Well, they could do so. They could at least attempt to do so and say, hey, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to let that story get out. Just so long as you guys don't let the story get out.
Fair.
And then, you know, just don't take them. Just don't take them.
I just feel the story would get out, wouldn't it? Because if the story got out that Shador Sanders, you could just not take him. If he's not going to come, he's not going to come here. And you're not going to be able to draft him because he's not going to come here. You just plan it anyway. He's refusing to go to the Browns. He's refusing places. Doesn't that make him look worse? It makes the Browns look bad. It don't look good for the Browns.
Yeah, that's the problem, though, is you have a prospect that some people are saying is a second-round prospect.
But wouldn't that...
And he doesn't want to come to your city.
But would that or would that not solidify a lot of people's fears about Shador Sanders? I mean, we've had so many people get in... The nepotism thing, which you and I both know is garbage. The concerns that they've had, which you and I both know is garbage. People seem to make it up off the fly when they've called it. There's been legitimate concerns out there, but most of the stuff has been crap.
Okay, when that came out of your mouth, I'm like, yeah, and then I'm like, they said those things about John Elway. They said those things about Eli Manning.
Yeah, those are the best of the best. We're not talking about number one over here because that's Cam Ward. We're talking about number two.
But furthermore,
how far
we actually benefited from it with Bernie Kosar, and that wasn't
well, he gained the system to go to where he wanted to go, thank God.
But could you imagine if there was today's media back then? They'd be like, who is this prima donna that is not allowing himself to go into the draft, that he is steering his way to one? What if other teams really wanted Bernie Kosar badly and their fan bases wanted
him? Willing to bet Mary Kay Cabin, a lot of other people would tell you that's exactly how people outside of Cleveland felt about Bernie. I'm willing to bet that that's how a lot of people felt. So I if you want to pick where you go, it's going to come with controversy. There's no nice way to pick or to tell a team that you don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. It's going to come with controversy because it's a lot of dirt on the Browns' name.
In the end, though, if you really think about it, we, over the last however many years, we've gotten more into every time we bring up the theme of nature versus nurture. If you were a dad and you knew the NFL, and also, of course, you believed in the talent of your son and everything, but you also want your son to be where? In the best possible situation. And what do we say about the NFL draft all the time, about quarterbacks that slip? Don't we say maybe that will work out to their benefit because now they're going to go to a better team. They're going to go to a better situation that's not as urgent, that's not as desperate, where they can slowly get into the league and as opposed to being rushed to the front right after preseason.
Am I one of the bigger Browns fans you know?
Yeah.
I'd be nervous about my own son getting drafted here.
For those
reasons you just said.
Yeah, it sucks to say.
You have to. Because it's like, hey, man, to wear brown and orange, that's great. Who's your head coach? If it was Marty Schottenheimer, hey, we're good, man. You're in a odd situation right now. This year, like next year, if all of a sudden you came out and you did coach him up and you guys put together a 7 or 8 win season, it's like, hey, everybody gets to stay. Hell, fine. Let's talk about it. But I think I'd be a little bit nervous myself. And if Deion has that cachet, I don't know, maybe he does. Maybe quietly. We've all been getting played because I thought that was done. I thought that his son was, and maybe it's still true. I think it's probably still true, but we have to kind of kick around all possibilities here. okay, his son's a competitor. His son wants to be drafted higher than Deion. He could still be drafted higher by Deion and be taken third by the Giants if he wanted it to go that way. Maybe that's the case.
And what do you think Deion and Shador thought of Myles Garrett's week-long takedown of the state of affairs for the Browns? What do you think they thought of that? You don't think they were paying close attention to that?
Yes. I mean, if Miles is gone, then maybe you do come out and say, I don't want my son going.
Could be.
Maybe you do come out there and say that. With Miles back, you know, we wondered who did Miles talk to? Well, you know, it's not unbelievable that he did it for money. Okay, that's a lot of money. I mean, there's a realization here. We can't trade your salary. We can't trade you because we're not going to be the person that trades for Deshaun Watson, then trades away Miles Garrett. We've been down that road a million times. But for what it means for a guy like Shador Sanders, it's just, man, now that I say about it like that, though, think about this. I had said, if he's at the third spot, well, how many people have a first-round grade on you? So I can't even trade. Like, think about this. Is there a market of people who want to trade up right now? Let me ask you questions. Is there a market of people right now who want to trade up to number two for Shador Sanders? Do you believe that there's a good market for that right now?
I don't think there's a good market. It seems like as we've gotten closer, there are less teams that might be interested.
So you could turn right around and say, buddy, where do you get the pills to say you don't want to play for me and I can't even trade out of it? I can't even create a market for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, the Browns really liked him. Maybe let's think twice about it. Maybe that's their version of creating a market for him. So this has led to more different controversies and conspiracies that we can find. That's why anybody who says or acts on the internet, any one of the pundits who, I know where they're going. No, you're just lying to people. There's no way. Think about the different scenarios we just thought of in 2 minutes of what the Browns could do. 2 minutes. Because anything I know has always been anybody I text out in Denver, Colorado, whatever, anybody I text out there, it's always been, he has no problem with Cleveland. He has no problem with the Browns. He has no problem with Kevin Stefanski. And that's headset off, headphones off, honest truth. That all that stuff is made up. All that stuff's garbage. He ain't got no problem with Cleveland. No problem with the fans. No problem with the weather. No problem with the organization. None of that. Now, whether or not that's a smokescreen, I don't know. I've been used as a patsy before. I'm not above being used as a patsy again. But that would be contrary to what's been already pointed out to me.
So that's something we've got to mull over and try to figure out. Why the Giants? What do the Giants have going for them so much
so? It's the Browns.
What do you mean?
The Giants are the Browns.
Yeah, but why if
New
he's
York,
talking about New York?
That's it. New York.
So Deion Sanders, who knows the league and knows that where you go can matter so much for a quarterback more than almost any other position. He thinks the Giants are ready to handle Shador Sanders and put him in the best place to develop.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be just as nervous with the Giants as I would be the Browns. But paint me a part of Big Blue Nation or whatever they are over there. No, that's Kentucky. Paint me a part of a Giant. If I were a Giants fan, I'd be worried about my son going to the Giants. They're in the same situation we are. You have a problem that Andrew Berry wasn't at Cam Ward's pro day yesterday.
So I wanted a good explanation for it. I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt to him. I sent some texts to some people that go to these types of things and in various capacities, some in the media, some in the NFL. And it was a little bit of a split. It wasn't like, oh, you have to be there. So let's put out what we know yesterday. I think it was Zach Jackson was the first to point out, not only is everybody involved with the Titans at Cam Ward's Pro Day, it's also basically their whole building was there, including their in-house media. So, like, if they were starting to film the documentary on the decision-making process or put it out in a show like all these NFL teams do nowadays, really all the sports teams do a great job.
Yep.
I know the Browns, the building, the Browns, I mean, it was an award-winning show.
All their in-house work, yep.
But if you put two and two together, it would make sense that if Cam Ward was going to be your number one overall, you're sending everybody, and you're the first to greet him coming off the field, which was what Zach also had in his tweets yesterday because Zach was there. And furthermore, that the video team is doing all this behind-the-scenes stuff. Why would they do that for someone they're going to pass up on, right? You never know. But maybe it's to throw everybody off the set. But it certainly seems like the conclusion everybody came up with yesterday was that Cam Ward's going number one. The other part of that was who wasn't there. And while Glenn Cook was there with the Browns, Andrew Berry was not. Now, I did wonder, were there any other big pro days that, you know, Andrew Berry might have gone to? You know, by the end, these teams all schedule them so that they have the most amount, the most interest.
April 4th,
right? Content.
April 4th for Shador.
Yeah, the last one.
Ooh.
Which is a big part of it, too.
And I have to make my decision before John Dorsey Day, April 1st.
You imagine Andrew Berry will be at Shador Sanders, right? Because at the very least, you want to make it seem like you might take him.
All right, you'd have to, because I don't want this to turn it. See, now I'm hesitant to say it's not a big deal. And I'll tell you why. Because I was one of the people who carried water for Ray Farmer and those guys when they didn't go to the Ohio State Pro Days.
I still don't get why he didn't go.
I don't know
why
I didn't go.
There's so many good players.
It's 2 hours away, and there's so many good players. I'd want to go, and I can't draft anybody. I'd want to go see that.
We would have bought tickets to go. He could have gone for free.
He could have went for free. So I remember that in my head before I say, well, it's not a big deal. But, I mean, isn't it all kind of a... But there's other players there, too, not just Cam Ward. There's other guys there, too. But, you know, remember Glenn Cook did play it at Miami?
Yes.
So if there's any... But now let me play this out here before you guys all call me just a water carrier.
I asked for a reason, so give me the reason.
Glenn Cook played at Miami. He knows the movers. He knows the shakers. He knows the glad handers. He knows the straight dope. If you had another obligation... Now you can say, what other obligation would you have? The general manager of the Cleveland Browns. He might have had another obligation referring to the Cleveland Browns and who they're going to pick. You don't know. I don't know. You said you texted around, right?
Yep.
Where Andrew Berry and his whereabouts were. I don't know. I don't know yet. I need to hear a competent reason.
So here
before
is,
I go firing away. Because everybody just fires away at Andrew Berry for everything here. So I just want to be fair.
What if he had meetings at his kid's school and there was just no way around it? You just never
we
know.
We have Zoom for that now.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
that's
Teams.
So one other thing that I did find interesting, and when I floated this out there, even people are like, not a big deal, not a big deal. And they're like, oh, that's actually a good point. I said Geno Smith and Sam Darnold. Now, why would I say Geno Smith and Sam Darnold?
Well, because I'm not sure about Geno Smith. Sam Darnold, like, the whole Browns contingent was there.
Yes.
And sitting with his family, I remember.
That's a good memory. The reason I used those examples is I think something's changing in the NFL. I think we are more open to the fact that situation matters even so much more than just talent, that we're not going to write guys off anymore because they're really bad right away, or they flake out in their first iteration of an NFL career. So Sam Darnold was what? A train wreck, right? In New York where he started out?
Yeah.
And now he flourished. Now it's just 1 year and it collapsed at the end. But then we were wondering what other teams might want Sam Darnold. And so you think back to, all right, what did I think of Sam Darnold coming out? What did I think of my interactions with him? And these guys, these GMs, they don't get the amount of interactions with prospects as you think they do. It's not like Andrew Berry, but once you're in the league, can just go hang out with other hold on, I'm not done.
Okay.
He's not just hanging out. He doesn't have the time. And where would it happen? And Andrew Berry lives here. He doesn't live in California where all the NFL players are, where you get to just hang out with guys for a long period of time and take inventory. And I do wonder that, all right, maybe not Cam Ward now. Maybe Cam Ward in 4 years. Like, we're all understanding that he's not a perfect prospect. He might wash out, but is that going to be the death of him in the league? Some guy, Carson Wentz, is still going to get another job, it looks like, this year. We're on team, what, five? I just think if you are all comprehensive, we're going to leave no stone unturned. We are going to take inventory and every data point, and we are going to, everything matters. Everything that we see matters, and we're going to jot it down in a notepad. Why miss the opportunity?
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah.
Because couldn't he have done that during the top 30 visit they already had?
Yes, absolutely.
They spent plenty of time together during that. I know there were other people there.
So did Tennessee.
Wait a minute. No, Cam Ward came after, right? Yeah, he came after. Cam Ward did. So what more was he going to learn at the pro day that he already didn't know?
And I'm just saying, why let another opportunity slide? Why not? Maybe you might learn something that you didn't learn. You always, after we get done with an interview, Kenny, immediately, what do me and you do after every interview? Why didn't we ask that guy that question? Why didn't we ask her that question? Why didn't we Oh, we could have gone down a whole new path. Oh, I heard him on another station do an interview, and they asked something better than we did. Darn it. And you're like, I want that back. All right, well, why waste an opportunity? And that's what it would seem to me if you are not at Cam Ward's pro day, wasted opportunity.
Makes sense, but the reasoning you just used didn't wash with me. Again, you're not, because you're not going to be able to spend, you got to spend time with him one-on-one at his top 30 visit.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have got to spend much time with him one-on-one at all. At a pro day, I mean, maybe a little bit. I'm not sure about the timing there, but man.
But also the people you get to talk to, the other individuals that are at a pro day. Heck, we had former presidents at Johnny Manziel's pro day.
George H.W. Bush.
You just never know who you could run into. And these guys are so obsessed with investigating where these guys are from. It's why at the combine, they get questions about their moms and dads and what they did for a living.
That's understood.
Like these GMs are obsessed with gathering as much information as possible. There are other players there too. Like that's the other part of it. There's other players.
Yeah, there are other players. There are other players.